beautiful human, thank you so much for letting us into your ears today. Olivia Rodrigo is about to hang out with us, and I'm just so excited. We have an album to discuss, Sour, obviously a whole lot of life hitting her right now. I'm looking forward to it, really, truly. Please, though, share this podcast with those you care about and subscribe, please. Today's convo is sponsored by Total Wireless. Do amazing. And yeah, listen to Sour, Olivia Rodrigo's debut album. Here we go. Hello.
Hey, how are you? Nice to see you.
Amazing to see you as well. I am so excited to talk to you because...
Oh my gosh, ditto.
Yo. Okay, we have an album to discuss, and this album made me smile, it made me cry, it made me feel, I feel incredibly understood. I've seen my relationships through new lenses after listening to some of these songs. Like, it was really...
Shut up! I swear, I
say thank you. I'm gonna cry. I say thank you.
Aww.
Yeah,
thank you so much. That means so much to me. Thank you for saying that.
You really did everything that I look for in a song, and many times over, and it's special because... The truth is, all but two songs are 100% by you and Dan. Is that correct?
Yeah. We wrote Jealousy with this wonderful woman named Casey Smith, but the rest I sort of wrote with Dan, or some of them I wrote by myself and finished with Dan. So yeah, it feels very personal, and it's very much like me writing, which is really important.
So can you explain to me a few things? Like, one, Jealousy, in my opinion, is the most important song on the album. From a generational perspective.
You think so?
Yes. Oh.
Cool.
Hands down. Comparison is killing me slowly. I think too much about kids who don't know me. Yeah, but then you also say their win is my loss. All I see is what I should be. Happier, prettier, jealousy. Important messages that people who are just soaked into the internet really tend to forget.
Yeah, that's such a big compliment that you think that. I really was just writing about my experience, and I wrote that during a time where I was so consumed with how I looked on social media and how people perceived me. I was sort of just like really upset in that sort of headspace, and I wanted to write a song about it. And it's really cool that you say that, and I hope that people can sort of see themselves in the song a little bit, or maybe, you know, sort of realize that, you know, social media is fake and nobody's as perfect as they seem online.
Do you look at things differently after you finish the song, or you at least get it out on paper or sing it in the booth?
Oh my God, totally. And I think I'm in a completely different headspace than I was when I wrote Sour. I think processing those feelings of, you know, sadness and heartbreak and jealousy and, you know, anger is so important, and in order to get over those feelings. And I think writing them down and writing an album about it definitely helped me move past some of those like uncomfortable feelings.
Their win is not my loss is like such an important few words to like really kind of live by, right? Because that's how jealousy or envy is the root of all evil. And it really could hurt somebody in the way you live if you let it run you.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I always have to remind myself. You know, I think there, you know, are so many like slices of the pie, and there's so much to go around. And you know, if one person is successful or beautiful, it doesn't mean that you're not. And that's definitely something that I always try to remember. But as I said in the heart, in the song, it's sometimes very hard to do. So yeah, definitely have to remind myself of that.
Enough for You made me cry. I sat in my car and I bawled more than once, three times to be exact. Is it hard for you to force yourself to write that? Or like, do you write that in the moment after you're feeling all this stuff, or do you feel all this stuff, live for a few weeks or months, and then get into the studio and let it all out? How does that one work?
I'm a very like in the present songwriter. I write songs when I'm in like the depths of my emotions. And Enough for You is one of my favorite songs on the record. I wrote that entirely by myself, which I'm really proud of. It's super obviously very insecure and, you know, vulnerable, but I also love how it's really hopeful. I think someday I'll be everything to somebody else is one of my lyrics that I've ever written. And I think it just really encompasses sort of getting over a breakup. And I think it's really powerful. So I'm glad you like it.
The redemption is so vital because and that realization that somebody, you'll be everything to somebody else because it's easy to forget when you're in the trenches of heartache and hurt. And yeah. you're in the trenches of feeling like you've given so much to another person. Like,
yeah.
And but God, you couldn't have cared less about someone who loved you more. I mean, you give your all to somebody and they kind of it. It hurts. It's hard.
Yeah, definitely. And something else that I love about that song, too, is I don't think it necessarily has to relate to a romantic relationship. No. I think I feel inadequate in, you know, many sort of relationships, whether that be like a work relationship or a friendship relationship or whatever. I think you can sort of apply it to anything. I think those feelings of, you know, not being enough for someone are something that we all feel so intensely and, you know, in every sort of relationship.
Yes. Friendship for me is the relationship that stood out when I was listening to that song. Mm-hmm. And it's all I could see on repeat.
Oh my gosh. I want to give you a hug.
Thanks.
That stuff's so real. I feel you.
Do you heal when that song is done? Do you realize anything new? I mean, obviously the redemption at the end is a realization. But does it take you writing the song for you to realize that, like, someday you will be, like, everything to somebody else?
I mean, 100%. I think songwriting is therapy for me, and stuff feels so much more manageable and real when you can write it down and it's this, like, little succinct 3-minute song. But, you know, sort of answer your question, I think writing songs for me has been the most empowering experience of my whole life. You know, I write songs about feeling like I'm not enough and feeling insecure and feeling so sad. And it's just sort of ironic how me doing that makes me so happy and feel so powerful and sort of, it just makes me feel really empowered. So definitely songwriting has been a really amazing outlet for me in that way.
What song is the hardest for you to listen to today?
Hope You're Okay makes me really sad in a great way. It just makes me really emotional. Just cause it's just super really personal song about people that I like really love. So, that one gets me.
Why did you want to end the album with that song?
I feel like Hope You're Okay. I mean, it's obviously in the title, but I feel like it's super hopeful, and you know, Sour is a very sort of sad, angry, emotional record. And I wanted to end it with a song that was like, you know, we're all going to be all right, y'all. We're going to get over it. And everything's going to be okay. And we have each other. You know what I mean? It was really important for me to sort of end this sort of somber record on that note.
So you end it with Hope You're Okay, but you start it with Brutal, which is, I don't know if it's a very hopeful song. How far into writing the album did you write Brutal?
Yeah, I actually wrote Brutal like 2 weeks before we had to turn the record in, which is very late in the game. And it's like one of my favorite songs on the record. I think it sounds really unique and I love the songwriting of it. I think it really represents my teenage years very well. I really wanted to put it as the opening track. And everyone was like, Olivia, are you sure you want to do that? It's kind of weird. And I was like, I love it. I want to do it. And it seems like people really like it. So hopefully that paid off.
What is your rule on friends? You know, in that record that you only have two real ones. Are you a quality or a quantity type person when it comes to friends?
Oh my gosh. I'm a big quality over quantity person when it comes to friends. I think keeping like a close circle of ride or dies is the only way to do it. I like that lyric too. Like one of my best friend actually asked me the other day, we were like listening to music. She's like, she pulls me aside. She's like, am I one of the two real friends? I was like, yeah, you're one of the two real friends. it's a fun line.
You have all the acquaintances and the sub friends really thinking and questioning their status within, Olivia's life.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if it's like two exactly, but it's definitely a statement of how it's better to have, you know, quality over quantity when it comes to friendship.
Can you define what an ego crush is?
Oh, yes. An ego crush is just, God, it's so hard to explain. An ego crush is just like feeling like you're so inadequate and inferior and getting like angry about it, I suppose. Yes. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, that's just like feeling of just like inferiority and feeling like your entire identity is just like gone, which I think is something that I definitely felt and something that teenagers feel, I suppose, as they're growing up. So that's what it is. It's such a cool word. I love just the word ego. I don't know.
How do you come back from that? How do you heal from an ego crush?
Oh my gosh. I think I have healed from my ego crush that I wrote about in the song, but it's hard to sort of put that into words. I don't know. I just think like deriving your worth from things that are truly important, like real relationships and your relationship with yourself is really important. I think when you start, you know, basing your self-worth off of how other people perceive you or how your, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend perceives you or whatever, that's when things start to get a little, you know, messy and awful and hurtful. So, yeah, I think deriving your worth from important places was the thing that I learned that helped me.
Olivia, in the same verse that you talk about only having two friends, you also say no one likes you, you hate how you're perceived, you're not cool, you're not smart. Of course, you can't parallel park. Now that the album's out and it's doing extremely well, it's the biggest album in the world, do you still feel this way about yourself?
Oh my gosh, completely. And, you know, I don't feel that way all the time. I didn't even feel that way, you know, all the time when I wrote the song. I just think it's a little bit of a hyperbole sometimes. It's just like a song about sort of when you're in that, you know, pity party and you're just like feeling sorry for yourself. It's just like the stuff that you would say when you're in that. Mm-hmm. So it's not like all encompassing. I don't think I feel like that all the time, nor did I ever. Yeah, it's sort of funny to have songs get big about like how much you like feel like nobody likes you. It's sort of like ironic and weird, but
but at the same time, like, you don't want to lose that because also your personal life could be different than your public life, right? Like, you could totally be a public superstar and you really could like feel like nobody likes you. I don't know, like, those feelings are felt by everybody, truly.
100% completely, and that's definitely, yeah, something that I think is important to bring up. Yeah, and you know, somebody could be living what looks like a perfect life, and they could, you know, be totally insecure and feel really sad. So it, you know, doesn't matter what you look like online or anything.
Yeah. Dude, you can have tens of millions of people on one side of the wall cheering your name, and on the other side of the wall, you can be completely alone. And that is the sad reality. And yeah, but everybody feels that way. Everybody could feel that way. And by the way, like, you know, you have screaming fans. A normal person has the internet. Tens of millions of people on the other side of a screen.
Totally.
One step forward, three steps back made me, I've changed an entire relationship in my life after hearing the song. And I feel healthier because of it. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Wow, that makes me so happy.
I cried. I feel healthier. I shed skin and weight like nobody's business.
You really brought out the tears on this album.
Yes. Well, dude, Enough for You and One Step Forward, Three Steps Back really, ooh. The Birds, though. How does that come to be? Because that starts that record.
Yeah. The Birds you talked about?
Yeah. Who had that idea? To start with Birds.
My producer, Dan. Genius. He actually just like stuck a microphone like out of his window in his house and recorded the Birds in the morning and put them in the song, which I think is great. And it adds a sort of cool ambiance. But yeah, I'm really glad you liked that song. I really sort of loved that concept of one step forward, three steps back. Somebody like texted it to me once and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I've like never heard somebody say something like that. And so I thought it would be a cool way to sort of describe this toxic sort of manipulative relationship. But like you said, it can apply to anything. It can apply to any relationship, a friendship, you know, a work relationship. There are so many people who are just, you know, wishy-washy, and you can sort of get in your head and feel like it's because of you, but it never is. It's always them.
Is there a defining moment where all of this kind of like hits you and you have to go to the studio and like write about it? Because I know in my life, like, there was a bunch of different events that happened that led up to me realizing that this was an emotionally toxic and destructive and manipulative relationship. And then there was just one moment that I saw it more clearly, but I didn't really understand it fully until I've gone to therapy for the last month, and then I heard your song.
You know, the cool thing about songwriting is sometimes, like, there's an idea, and you're just, like, a vessel for it to, like, come out in the world, and sometimes it's not even, like, a very conscious thought. Sometimes it's just, like, it's truly just, like, the magic of creativity, and I think One Step Forward sort of was that for me. I wrote it super quickly. I wrote it in my bedroom, and I was just, like, I wrote it, and I was, like, wow, that, like, perfectly captures how I feel in a way that I really never thought about it before. So I think that's one of the coolest things about songwriting is how accurately can capture feelings that you might not have even known you had.
Can you describe like Taylor and Jack Antonoff's role in the song? Because there is some inspiration from Dear John and New Year's Day. Is that correct?
So we interpolated New Year's Day, which is Taylor's song off of Reputation. I like came up with the One Step Forward concept, and I sort of wrote like a verse and a chorus. And when I got home, I was in the car on a road trip. And when I got home, I decided to like sing it over the chords of New Year's Day. And I think they're really beautiful chords. And so, I was lucky enough to get that approved, and it's on the record now. So yeah, it's a cool thing.
Where does this rock sound come from? Is this something you've always wanted to do, or did Dan have you do it, or did you say, hey Dan, let's do this? Like, was there an inspiration behind it?
Yeah, I've always grown up listening to alternative rock. It's my favorite thing ever. And I didn't really know how to write sort of a rockier song until I met Dan. Dan was like in this like emo rock band growing up, and so he like knows all the ins and outs of that kind of thing. I've always been drawn to sounds like that, and I've always been drawn to like angsty, angry songs, and I think like the rock backdrop is perfect for that. So definitely have a couple of songs on the record that are a little grungier, and those are some of my favorites.
I think it's so cool that you do it, because you hear like Good For You, and it sounds like a 2000s pop punk song, and I think it's awesome coming from you, who's like, you're 18, right?
Yep.
And people could easily say, Olivia, this is not the music you're supposed to make. And you're like, no, this is the music I'm making, and it's clearly working.
Yeah. You know, I'm inspired by like so many different genres and different things. And so, yeah, definitely drew on like pop punk references for that song. And I feel like Traitor, I sort of drew from like country references, and, Brutal is like grunge references. So there's like so much in the album, and I'm really happy that it's sort of this versatile piece of work, because I love listening to so many different types of music, and I'm so inspired by so many different types of music. So I definitely tried to like reflect that in the album that I made.
Do you make music for anybody but you?
No, not at all. Music is 100% for myself. I love writing songs, and I would do it if nobody listened, but it's so cool that people listen and really resonate with it too. But I think that's really important to just write songs for you. That's like the most important thing as a creative person, to sort of block out, the fear of how people will perceive it, or the fear of, you know, people not liking it. I just think that's just completely just such a creative block for you when you're writing.
At the beginning of this album, did you set any goals for it?
You know, I actually didn't know it was going to be an album when I sort of made it.
EP.
I made an EP called Sour, and it had a couple of the songs on the record, but not all of them. And when Driver's License came out, I was like, you know what? I feel like I can do better than this EP. I definitely want to make it into an album. And my record label was like, okay, are you sure? And I was like, yes. I'm like, totally sure. This is what I want to do. And I guess I just kept writing songs. And I really wanted to make it this versatile sort of body of work. I didn't want it to be all ballads. And at first, it was really hard for me, because I love writing ballads. And I wasn't feeling very happy at the time, as you can probably tell. And so I like didn't know how to like write like a love song or an upbeat song or anything like that. And I tried, and we like tried to put love songs on the record, and songs that were like not about this and that and not about breakups, but it just didn't feel like authentic to me. And so that's why I'm really proud of like a song like Good For You. It's because it's like a dancey sort of upbeat song, but I didn't have to sacrifice what I was really feeling. I didn't like have to talk about like, oh, I'm so in love and happy, even though that wasn't how I was feeling. So I'm really, really proud of that. Yeah.
That's a big realization, right? Because that can change the way you create moving forward in terms of like, what you feel is possible, because you can dress up any of these lyrics or these stories and however you want.
Totally. And like my favorite thing ever is like a really depressing song over like really happy chords. Like that's so much fun. The world is your oyster.
Are you taking time to enjoy all this success? Or are you straight back to the studio, writing, producing, whatever, working on whatever's next?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm definitely like trying to rest a little more now that the album is done and I did my performances and stuff like that. So definitely taking some time to myself, and I'm just so excited. It's so cool to see the songs resonating with people, and that's just always been my dream. So I'm just really living the dream right now. It's really incredible.
What have you learned about yourself from this process and releasing this first album?
Oh my God, I learned like everything about myself. I just think it's so fascinating how much you can change in the matter of like a couple months. Like I wrote this album when I was 17, and I'm 18 now, and it's just so crazy how much different of a person I am, and how I'm in such a different headspace. So I really think writing all those songs really helped me get out of a tough time in my life. And it's really cool that I have this sort of body of work to sort of memorialize that period of my life.
Growth is an everyday thing.
Yep, definitely. One built in the day.
Olivia Rodrigo, I can't thank you enough for Sour. Genuinely, genuinely, genuinely. Do you have a final question?
One last question. Have you thought about the possibility of being nominated for things like the Grammys?
Oh my gosh, I can't even think about that. It would be incredible, but right now I'm just like so happy that people are really liking the record, and that's all I can think about. But yeah.
Well, you're breaking just about every single record out there, so it's very possible.
And we say congratulations. And I also say, I saw the little gifts that you were handing out at the Brit Awards to certain artists. You were giving out letters. That's adorable. Like, that's like really nice and really sweet. And I've never really heard of anybody doing that, or at least in a while, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, it was a cute little thing. I'm happy I got to do it.
What motivated that? Did we walk away with any friends? Are we friends with Jade and Perry and
you know, it's actually really cool. The so my performance at the Brits was like very butterfly themed. Like, this Sour album has a lot of butterflies in it. And so we actually gave everyone like a little envelope, and when they opened it, like a paper butterfly would fly out, which I thought was cool. So that was a fun thing, and it said like "Hope you're okay" on the envelope.
What does a butterfly mean to you?
Yeah, I suppose it's transition, and I suppose it's transitioning sort of out of that rough period in my life and sort of becoming an adult. I wrote that album when I was 17, so it's like very much like me transforming into an adult. So I really like the symbolism of that, but also butterflies are really pretty, so I don't know.
Thank you for sharing the album with everybody, and thank you for giving us your time and energy today. I am really forever appreciative.
Oh my gosh, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure.
Olivia Rodrigo, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Hey, beautiful human, thank you so much for listening to our conversation with Olivia Rodrigo. I really appreciate you hanging out with us today. Please subscribe to our podcast, share it with those you care about, and let us know who you're listening to so we know who we should invite on the show next. @ Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. Have an amazing day. Talk to you soon.